Hello, I am Anne Mbogua with the Community Roundtable. I hope you enjoy this conversation, our lessons from the Community Manager Handbook Series.
Hi, Patrick. If you could introduce yourself, what you do and the community you work with, and also how many years you've been in community.
Great. My name is Patrick Ryan. I work with E-commerce Fuel. I'm the community manager there. And we are a paid community of about 1,100 members in the e-commerce space. I've been the community manager there for about 3 years, a member about 5 years. And before that, I was also a community manager for a software platform called Xcart. That's an e-commerce platform.
Okay. It sounds like you've been on that line of e-commerce, right?
Yeah, for a long time. I was a developer, e-commerce developer as well. So that's kind of how I found this community that I work for now.
Fantastic. So you wrote a really beautiful thread about how to drive engagement. Actually, it was five things on how to drive engagement and what you are currently doing in your community. And I really loved that thread because you really broke it down to those specific five things. And it sounded like these are, you know, lessons that you have learned from and probably some of the challenges that you've been facing. So I'd like you to sort of briefly describe to us that process of these five things to drive member engagement.
Sure. If I can remember what five, I think I do. So we try to be really personal with our members as far as when we bring them on and throughout their whole journey in the community. I know that's not something everyone can do because some of these communities are massive, but we only bring about 5 to 10 new members on each week. So one of the things we've been able to develop over the past few years is a kind of an onboarding flow that kind of puts people in a little green room to start. So we introduce them, we get them an email, we get them a welcome video, and then we personally welcome them in this kind of staging area. And we have some community guides on board who also welcome them, make them feel welcome, give them answers to their questions and problems, point them in the right direction. So they really feel when they join the community that they're instantly part of it. They're not just a number. And that's something we try to do throughout their whole journey. If they have problems, they have issues, we use really highly customized email flows and notifications that are tied to their skills and their preferences so that they don't get a lot of garbage. They get something that's really catered towards them. And then in the Friday newsletter we send out every week, we give them catered specific topics that are relevant to their experience, their problems, their issues. And then, as I mentioned before, we have community guides. We also have experts that are subject level experts in the forum so that when there's a question about legal, we have a lawyer there to answer their questions, or question about marketing, we have a marketing expert. So we try to curate those leaders. And then our live events, we also have kind of MCs and leaders that are responsible for that local community so that they feel like they always have somebody nearby they can talk to. So leadership's really strong. And then the curated live and virtual events, we really try to do events that are specific to, we have a large event and local events, but we also have a specific event for our $10 million sellers, for example. So they're all in the same kind of business level, the same kind of experience level. So we try to curate almost everything in our community towards people so that they get exactly what they're after. And finally, our last point is tons of valuable content. So those new members generate really great case studies when they first join. That's a requirement. Everything really. So there's always something new people are sharing with the community. Our experts post annual and quarterly updates on what's happening in the space. And then I personally and my founder, Andrew, we try to create a lot of off-topic discussions. So not just people feel like imposter syndrome sometimes. So when we have like a fun thread, like share your pet photos, or, you know, do you still use this kind of software or anything like that, it really gets everyone to engage and not feel like they're just like, oh, like I can't answer this, I'm not an expert. Everyone's got pets. Everyone's got, you know, fun stuff, cars, bikes, motorcycles, whatever it is. So we really try to keep everyone engaged, and we get about 85% of our members log in at least once every 90 days. So that's pretty good. We're pretty happy with that.
Yes, absolutely. So what were some of the challenges that you faced prior to coming up with these ideas of how to drive up engagement? What led you to that?
It was people weren't reading. People were just joining and kind of getting thrown into the forum, and they weren't really we sent them a personal email, but like we were talking about before this, no one reads email anymore. So it was tough to get to them, tough for them to kind of feel like they belong somewhere. But when they really can see a face and a name and a person that really is paying attention to them, mm-hmm. you know, feels really great when you're a new member in a place. So I think just personalization and engagement right from the beginning was our biggest challenge when I first came on. And, you know, now we look at our onboarding flow and we have like 25 emails that are 300 pages long, and it's not going to work.
Right. So, right.
We talked about earlier, some video is probably going to be in our future for that TikTok format, so that all the attention spans that are 10 seconds will actually pay attention to what we're trying to tell them.
Yeah. So it sounds like it's really busy. So are you just a team of one, or are you, you know, are you doing community with other people who are helping you do all this?
Well, we just hired an event, a director of events. So she is in charge of putting on 6 live events a year, from 50 people to or one next week is 250 people. So that's kind of her whole game. I manage the community itself. So moderate the forums. We have some moderators, but it's really my job. The founder, Andrew, he does a podcast. He's in the forums a lot too, but, and we have a virtual assistant and a part-time developer. So that's really it. So it's a kind of a small team, but we all kind of do everything.
Yeah, which is good. You're not a team of one.
No, so I could not do this by myself.
Yeah, absolutely. So what would you tell a community manager who is, you know, struggling to drive engagement? You know, what would be some pro tips that you would advise them?
That's a good one. It's tough because everyone runs such a different kind of community, but I think giving people value for their time is really what it's all about for us. I mean, these are mm-hmm. super busy entrepreneurs. I'm sure everyone's running a community that's super busy. So getting their attention and getting them to come in, there has to be a reason for it. So you know, providing good content, providing, in our case, discounts on software that we negotiate with software vendors, that kind of stuff gets people to come into the forums. And then once they're there, they find all sorts of other things they can get involved with. So I think providing value is super important. Providing unique daily value, not just, you know, once a month we're posting something. This is, you know, we keep our forum pretty busy. I would say there's probably a couple hundred posts, new threads every week. So it's fairly busy. There's lots of content for people to digest, keeping them informed via text or email, whatever it is. You know, don't let them just disappear. Keep them coming back for more and engaged, providing new ways to connect them, whether during the pandemic, it was virtual events, it was Zoom calls, it was, you know, kind of informational digests that we sent out. So it's just about keeping their interest. And it's really hard with so many distractions these days.
Yes, yes. What do you do with, you know, new members who have come on board? I'm curious to know what your onboarding process kind of looks like.
Yeah, so they come into the new member green room and they're greeted by, I think we have a team of 12 community guides now. So they try to open the discussion. They talk about things they have in common, or if they're from the same town or the same sports team. We ask a lot about hobbies. Mm-hmm. And we mentioned that as part of the onboarding because it's easy to talk about that stuff. You don't feel intimidated. So, you know, we have threads on golf. We have threads on skiing. Yeah. So we point them to that. They get involved that way. They're required to post a case study in their first 30 days. So our community guys encourage them, hey, you know, I really like this about your business. Why don't you do a case study about that? So within that first 30 days, they're kind of getting a feel for what the case studies are about. And then they share it, then they get a lot more engagement. So that first 30 days is really important to kind of grab their attention, show them that they're getting the value because it's a paid community. $150 a month is not cheap for some people. So they want to make sure that they're getting their value for that. So it's a very, you know, we hold their hand a lot in the first 30 days. And we have a lot of flows that we send out. Hey, you know, we just noticed you haven't logged in the first couple of weeks. You might want to check this out. A lot of people are welcoming you. So it's all about getting them to feel super part of the community in that first 30 days for us. And then we have about, I would say, 75% retention rate on new members that come in. So it's working. There's always room for improvement, but it's important to make them feel welcome from day one.
And what do you do with, because this can be a problem in most communities. Anyway, most communities do have them. We have people who are inactive, you know, they're inactive members. What do you do with your inactive members? How do you get them to sort of be active if that's, you know, something that you really want to do? Because there are communities where they are okay with them sort of being inactive and they can be lurking, you know, as they're doing, you know, reading, you know, information and content and things like that. So what do you usually do? I'm curious.
So yeah, the lurkers are always an issue for us. We do have a flow, a couple of flows that when they start to get, they can build up a lot of cred over time. So if a super active member goes dormant for a year, we're not going to bother them too much because they've given so much in the last year, they're entitled to a break. But if a new member comes in and posts a case study and then we don't hear from them for 6 months, they'll start to get a series of emails that are nudging them to, hey, you know, here's a topic that you might be interested in. You talked about this before. So about over the span of 2 weeks, we kind of encourage them to come back. And if they don't, they get dumped into kind of an inactive pool. And then we kind of remove probably 2 to 3 inactive members a month, just to kind of, people don't like lurkers. They don't, members don't like, not just community managers, but the members, when they don't see someone posting and just lurking, they get suspicious. They think, oh, they're going to steal our ideas. They're here. They're not giving back. So our community is really about giving back, and we don't really tolerate people who don't. So yeah, they eventually get phased out if they don't ever share.
No, that is I really like the way that you have sort of, you know, worked around that. Because that can present actually a problem, depending obviously once again on the business use case.
Yeah.
So my thoughts are around, now that you have tested and tried this, what would you do differently? Let's say you had to start a community from launch or from scratch. How would you do something differently compared to what you're doing now?
Good question. So I wasn't around. I mean, I was around as a member at the beginning of this community, but not as the manager. But it's fun to see how it's evolved since then.
Right.
Some of the mistakes that were made. And I think keeping people that, in our case, it's a community for e-commerce store owners. So there's a lot of variants of that. There's contractors, there's service providers, there's software providers. And Andrew, the founder, let in a lot of those kind of people in the beginning.
Right.
And that became a problem because of pitching and sales. And, you know, people don't like that at all. So I think we would have been a lot more restrictive in the beginning as to who was going to be a part of the community. And we would have put this onboarding process in place a lot longer ago, because it a lot of people just came in and were numbers, and those people never really engaged. And we found that since the new member green room and onboarding process came about, the engagement is much higher and they stay around a lot longer. So I would kind of plan ahead and make sure that all of that was thought out from the very beginning, rather than just opening up the gates and saying, all right, everybody come into our community and it's going to be great. You know, you can't, I don't think you can do that anymore. So there's too many people, you know, Facebook's pulling on you and TikTok's pulling on you. There's so many distractions for people that you have to be a really central source of information. And I think we would have developed our community leaders a lot more from the beginning, community guides, experts, moderators, people who are kind of watching over our shoulders. I know I'm not in there 24/7, so I can't moderate things that are offensive or doesn't happen often, but it's nice to have some backup in different time zones that can handle that for me when I'm not there.
So are your moderators and the guides, are they part-time or are they just volunteers?
They're volunteers. So we, the guides, the experts, and the moderators all get free memberships and they get discounted tickets to our live events. And we did, before the pandemic, a kind of a leadership retreat for 3 days where we just kind of all got to know each other and bonded, and it kind of gives them a stake in the community. It makes them feel like they're part of things. And they, you know, when you meet someone a lot, that's the other thing I'd say, if you have a community and can do live events, it is astounding how much better those members are once they connect with other people in person. They feel like a family. They feel like it's someone that they are, you know, some of these people have been friends for 7 years now, and they hang out outside of our community now. So it really bonds people. It really strengthens the community. It's hard to do. It's a lot of work, but you know, it's worth it, I think. So I would, Andrew has done a good job with that, with holding a live event every year, except for the past couple. And we'll continue to do that even more now with 6 events a year.
Wow. That's amazing. 6 events a year, but it's much needed. I do agree. The in-person really makes a difference than virtual. There's just something about doing in-person events and live events, right?
Yes.
So I always like to end on this note. What inspires you about your community?
Just how giving people are. I mean, these are businesses that compete with one another in some cases. They're selling the same products. They're selling in the same space. They're trying to be unique in their space, and they are more than willing to share all of their strategies, numbers, mistakes. They're super vulnerable. They're super caring. They'll go out of their way to help other members. And it's just, it floors me that people who have never met in real life, a lot of them will just, you know, spend an hour with a stranger giving them life advice or business advice or it's fantastic that to see that, especially in this day and age, that there are people that still really care about other people. And I love, that's my favorite part of the job, is seeing someone who's struggling get help from 10 people and turn their business around. It's a lot of fun. So I really enjoyed that.
Oh, thank you, Patrick. I really appreciate you sharing with us about how to drive engagement or even to increase engagement.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Lessons from the New Community Manager Handbook. If you'd like to download your own copy of the New Community Manager Handbook, visit www.communityroundtable.com.